Good afternoon. Again, it is my great privilege to be with Christ Church in Eden. I consider this is one of my greatest honor in my life to stand with His holy, inerrant, sufficient Word of God. Marriage experts have discovered some common communication patterns that are damage to communication. One such pattern is called the dove. In this pattern, one partner protects the other in order to avoid his or her anger. It is the peace at any price syndrome. That is the strategy over here. So typical statements in conversation between husband and wife, they avoid, which can harm in their relationship. So otherwise, whatever makes you happy makes me happy. So doves are always trying to satisfy the other person, often apologizing for things that may have upset the partner, no matter how insignificant. They almost never disagree with their spouses openly, no matter how they feel. Often, this pattern grows out of low self-esteem. What do you think about this kind of communication in relationship? Basically, what we see in this pattern, nobody wants to hurt other partner or other person. Nobody wants to confront what is wrong. Nobody wants to rebuke what is wrong. We must learn to speak the truth with grace and in love. To be sure, as the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4:15, we will speak in the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. So Bible clearly reminds us that we need to speak the truth, but we need to speak the truth with love and patience. I remember when I was a small boy, I had problems to swallow pills. Therefore, my mother used to put the pills in a banana and ask me to eat it. So sometimes I even did not know what was the medicine for. But at the end, I was healed from my sickness without struggling to swallow that particular pill. So, in today's scripture portion, almost the same technique was applied to Timothy in regard to exercise church authority in different age groups and gender in his church. Correction or rebuking is always a sensitive issue, especially when it applies to older people. So, it needs to be applied with great wisdom. So in today's scripture portion, we have seen we have only two verses. And here, the senior pastor of that Ephesus church, Paul, he is giving instruction to that young pastor, Timothy, who is going to disciple the church without his presence. And Paul was giving some instructions to handle the different age group and gender group in his church. So this is the theme. So before we go into the verse, please pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. So as we look into the immediate context of this chapter and particular verses, as I said, these are the commands Paul is giving to his beloved favorite disciple, Timothy. So basically, this particular portion meant for spiritual leaders or pastors or elders of the church. Here Paul describes how we need to handle the relationship in a congregation or in a body of believers. If you are following my sermon outline, so here instructions for handling different relationship in the church body. Instructions for handling different relationships in church body. So the question is, if you are in Timothy's shoes, how would you handle his instructions? The first one is attitudes in exercising authority to various age groups. If you look at verse 1 and 2, here Paul is addressing older people and younger generation. So it is always a sensitive issue how to address or rebuke or correct older people in our congregation. So here Paul is not telling Timothy to not to rebuke them. We all need corrections. But Paul is addressing to Timothy how to handle, how to address this group of older people in your church. And also, as a pastor, he must keep the obligation to exhort or correct his congregation. But then whether he rebukes or corrects, all should do in a right manner. Warning of rebuking older people. Warning of rebuking older people. So when you look into the text, we have seen, we have only two verses to in this scripture portion, and we can see only two verbs. So one is so rebuke, older man. It's a translates as a presbyters, and it's a plural, which Paul already mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. The word comes as elders of the church. But in over here particularly, Paul meant for older members, not the elder, older members of the congregation. So when you look at the first word, he said, never speak harshly. Here he is using a negative command, imperative. That means not to start an action. Do not rebuke. Hey, Timothy, you by yourself should not start an action. Do not start speaking harshly to an older man. When you look at the verb over here, especially the Greek translated verb, which clearly says that the meaning of that particular word is a strike out verbally at someone. So that is the meaning, the physically strike at someone. That's why it says some, even New Living Translations use the harshly, the word. But Paul told Timothy and all pastors to teach or correct an older man as if he were your father. I come from a different cultural background. In our country, we always respect older people. So when I first came into this country, I was shocked. Even the small children, they address older people by their name. Even I have seen some of the sons called the father by name. And younger people in the congregation, they address elders by name. That was a shocking experience for me. But in our country, we always respect older people. We always salute them. Okay, but then even when you look at the biblical standard, Paul was specifically telling them that, hey, you need to treat your older people as your father. How do you speak to your father? How do you speak to your mother? How do you speak to your sister or your brother? So here, when you look at generally, even Paul is asking Timothy to deal with a different age group, but then he said you need to honor them. And then you need to respect them. And then you need to assume that the older people are your own family members, your father, your mother, and also the younger people also are your own family member, your younger sister, and your younger brother. Then just imagine, you know, the church become, the congregation become a family. So when you have that right understanding of a family relationship, and only in Christian context, people call them brothers and sisters. You cannot see this addressing, this salutation in any other religion. Maybe these days some other religious people, they adopt, hey brother. But then only the brotherly love, only the sisterly love, you know, we can see in the context of the Christian congregation. Even one of our Old Testament reading, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32, here God gave through Moses the law, you shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. See, so this was even given by God. So I don't know, maybe all the time, the gray hair considered as the part of respect. But then how do you consider the older age group in your time? So God's law tells us to respect the aged. But then even even though the people are not in your family member, we always call them back in my country, sir or mom. And that is the culture still there. I know in your country also we have it. But this doesn't mean that we should not rebuke or correct the older generation in our congregation. If you are a spiritual leader and you are called to preach His word, and if you follow God's word according to the scripture, and then you are commanded to correct and correct your older generation in your congregation. So then here we have seen that the rebuking as a verb and do not rebuke older people. So what is rebuking? It's a verbal expression of blame. The scripture gives examples of both divine and human rebuke. Even sometimes God issues rebukes directly, but more commonly He did so through the Old Testament prophets. We can see that. And in the New Testament, Jesus Christ and the apostles issue rebukes and teach the church how to address those who sin. So we have some examples from Old Testament, especially Leviticus chapter 26, verses 23 to 24. And if by this discipline you are not turned to me, but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you, and I myself will strike you sevenfold for your sins. This is a God rebukes as a punishment for the sin. And then Psalm 50, verse 21, these things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself, but now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. This is a God is directly giving rebuke to His people. And Psalm 119, verse 21, you rebuke the insolent, accursed one, who wander from your commands. And then we come to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is issuing rebukes in Luke chapter 4:41 against evil spirit. And demons also came out of many, crying, you are the Son of God. But He rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that He was the Christ. And also Jesus rebuked Peter. Mark chapter 8, verse 33, but turning and seeing His disciples, He rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. So rebuking is needed to be done as per the context. Even Peter was very close to Jesus Christ. Now sometimes the proximity in relationship allows people take advantage. So we need to keep a balance. Even if we want to rebuke, we need to rebuke. But then same time, we need to hug them. We need to take care of them. But this is here, that's the same way Jesus did it. Peter was very close to Jesus. So one of the insider of Jesus' disciple. But then even Peter was concerned about his teacher's future. But then that was not Jesus' kingdom. He just came for God's will. And if someone is going to stand against His will, God's will, when that was clear over here, Jesus stood strong. I mean, He was very strong and stable to take action or correct his friend Peter. And then when you come to in Hebrews, I have given some examples how to give rebuke. And even Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17, you shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. So when you give instruction, so how should be your heart? And then when you receive rebuke, you know, even Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, and have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. So as a congregation, you know, when sometimes our pastors or elders, when they correct us, we need to take this not kind of a personal offense. It is coming from God, because they are ordained by God. They are accountable to God. But then we need to consider this is God is giving us this correction. And Hebrews chapter 12, 6 also, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. So how should be done rebuking? And as I said, you know, sometimes we need to sweeten diplomatical and diligence. And as I said, you know, maybe my mother used to give me that pill inside a banana. And then same like when you give these kind of corrections, we need to do it in a respectful, gentle way. Paul gives a picture of how older people should be in Titus chapter 2 and 3. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderous or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. So the Bible is a complete book. It has given us the standard of life. But when we break the standards of life, you know, as a pastor or the elder, they have the right to correct us. And also, the pastor will also have to interact with the peers of the generation, the younger generation. And then here giving another example, you need to exhort them as your brothers and sisters. So as we come to the second point, I mean, examples of encouragement in exercising authority. Handling older women and younger women, different gender, with older man and his own father. We need to regard older men as our own father. So we will observe certain respect to them. So God has set the elderly before us as our fathers and requires us to respect them accordingly. So people are in the same age. We are to treat them as brothers and sisters. And again, if people are not ready to hear or submit to the authority, so we can never win them over because they are hardened against God and biblical principles, then there is no point to talk. Hebrews chapter 12, 15, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. So if a person is not entirely hardened by sin, he will surely turn his heart, will be softened to correction. Respect for all people. Respect for all people. So we need to understand that every person created in the image of God, So as believers, regardless of their faith, we should show proper respect and honor. Even when we are in street evangelism, we see different people group, different religious group, they pass by. How do you respect them? I mean, they are not Christians. They do not have the faith, what we have. But then we need to respect them. They are watching. We should not be provoked, and we need to treat them with the same respect as God created them into the same image of God. Of course, they are dead in their transgressions, once we were, but it's only God's grace. We can pray for them. We continue to pray for them. You do not know. Yesterday I was in another church. I was training them how to share the gospel. And then one lady, she was telling that even she became a Christian by seeing the testimony of the people used to come in their college. They were coming to their college and through a campus crusade program, but then they were issuing tracts and many other stuff, but nothing attracted to her. But she was watching the people and their character. And through that, she became a Christian. She was giving the testimony yesterday. So we do not know, but then how people are watching us. I still remember when I was in the Middle East. Their gospel was restricted. And one of my friend's roommate, he was a Hindu. And then my friend, every day he reads Bible in his room. And then this other friend who was watching, and after three years, one day he asked a question. Hey, you are watching this book, you are reading this book every day. You didn't finish it yet? Then he said, no, this is a living word. Then actually that gave him an enthusiasm to look into it, see it. Then he started to read. He became a Christian. He left his Hinduism. Now he and his wife. And then after that he got married, and he married a particular Christian girl. And what my point is, we can share the gospel. That's good. Sometimes maybe not through that God is calling someone into his kingdom. So the diligence, the discipline, reading of the words, God's word every day, attracted to other roommate to and directed him to read the scripture. And also when we come to John chapter 13, even Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. So if you love one another. So then Christ has given a clear example how to do all these instructions and taking care of the church matters. And then relationship with both genders. Especially in particular over here, as a young pastor, it is a challenge for him to deal the issues of the opposite sex. And the relationships must be marked with the purity. So God created both women and men in his image and his likeness. So scripture shows women in a variety of roles in the Bible, they were part of God's salvation in different ways in the scripture. So in Christ, there is no fundamental distinction between believers on account of gender, but women played a significant part in the life of Jesus Christ and in the early church. So here, Paul is giving Timothy an example in relationship with older women in the church. He should deal with them as his own family members, as mothers, as sisters. And especially with the older women, he said, even 2 Timothy chapter 1, 5, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now, I'm sure, dwells in you as well. But when we look into this particular scripture, he see that for Paul, for Timothy, he was leading a very holy life. He was a very disciplined kid, grew up in a Christian home. When you look in the background, his grandmother was a believer, and his mother, and they both were actually leading a very Christian life. And then even when Timothy was brought up into that house, I mean, they all were, his grandmother, mother, and all the family members, they were good examples. So maybe that helped Timothy to lead a very holy life. I mean, respect others. So basically, the respecting others, respecting older people, and keep the right relationship. Hey, all these things, all these lessons need to be taught in our own home. So that's background help Timothy to lead. Even that was the testimony Paul is giving over here. Treat older women as you would your mother. Amen. The fifth commandment is honor your father and mother. To treat someone as your mother is to treat that person with respect, dignity, and deference. Regard younger women with prudence. So when I was looking at that, you know, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 12, here Paul said that let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. So for Timothy, he was absolutely, he was leading this kind of life. So when Paul instructs Timothy to act with all purity toward the younger women, he is not warning against immoral behavior, because Paul knew he was a person of great holiness and great discipline. So maybe as a pastor, maybe today, or elder, or a teacher, this is the same challenge we have. We should have the right testimony. But just like Paul had that trust of his disciple. But here the pastor will also have to interact with the people, but he should have the same character, just like Timothy, how he was maintaining his life, you know. And when you look at Paul, and Paul had many women friends in his ministry. Even one of them was Lydia, was a great help to the church. Acts chapter 16. Verses 14 and 15. And we see several women, even Romans chapter 16, 3 to 5, when you, 15, when you look at there. But then Paul knew that. I mean, he was giving them giving Timothy a warning, you know. Now, as a pastor, you should not take advantage of your position, and should not compromise the name of Christ. So it's a very, very difficult situation. Even today, you know, know, as the leaders of the church, you know, there are many, many temptations that can come into our church duties. But then the same strategy, are we able to keep it? So I just wanted to maybe when you look at this particular two texts, we see that two issues. One is Paul is advising Timothy how to address the two different age groups, and also two different gender groups. And then I just want to tell one more thing. Maybe in today's context, we have more than two genders. I mean, because the biblical standards have changed. You know, the people, even in the church, and we see that that's one of the challenges. But as a Christian, how would you address that? As a pastor or elder, when a person come into your congregation, how would you address this issue today? I just 3 weeks back, I was visiting my sister's place, and my sisters, they live in New Jersey. Their grandchild came from the school. She's 8 years old. And then she came and explained to her mother that day, "Hey, mommy, I saw one of my students in my class. His name is Lucas. And now he wears girls' clothes. And he changed his name to Elizabeth." Yeah, then she said, what do you think? Then this little girl said, "I thought it was just for one day, but then every day it's officially changing the name." And the child was confused. And then mother was advising, "Hey, what the Bible says? God created Lucas as Lucas. But then here in the human perspective, people are changing. Maybe psychologically, maybe." So well, I'm not bringing, you know, these are the things we are facing today. It can come more and more and more. But then how would you address? But then clearly the book of God's word has given us a standard. But are we able to stand up and say that, this is wrong? Even the Corinthian believers, they had all these kind of issues. But then, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 11, it clearly says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God." That was one of the... So we are not... not new to all these kind of a thing, sins, but then how would we address or apply the chastisement or discipline to the church body? It is painful, but it should be done in an acceptable way. So let us come to the practical applications for pastors or elders. So here, what I just want to take, the rebuking is a duty of a person who are called to a pastor of a church. Okay. So as a pastor or an elder who is called to preach, teach, and exercise authority in the church, not only preach the word generally, but need to rebuke the sinner who have gone wrong. So sometimes as leaders, we need to do private rebuking, but do it with prudence. And also, Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 4 says, "The shepherd is not only commissioned by God to lead the sheep to pasture, but is charged with relieving the weak, healing the sick, and curing every infirmity." So as the pastors or elders of the church, if we believe that God is the one who put us into our position, we need to make sure we are doing our job right according to the scripture. But then we let no one look down on our youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example. So this is the standard as elder or the pastor we should have. I just want to conclude in this way. I know this particular portion, what I was preaching today, comes as a church discipline and administration, but then we all are leaders. We are leaders sometimes in the church, but we are leaders in our home. We are leaders in our workplace. So the leadership is the part of our day-to-day life. But then as a leader, how would you exercise your leadership? Not like that the first introduction I gave as a marriage, the communication as the principle of do. Oh, I don't know. I do not want to hurt the other party. I can be a doormat. No. We need to stand up for the truth. We need to correct and we need to rebuke. So 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 2 and 4. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So may God strengthen, help us to do and follow God's word. Please, sir, pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the salvation. We thank you for our Lord Jesus as the shepherd of our church. And help us to have that, the standard of your word. Help us to follow as our Lord followed and be that Christ-likeness in our life too. We thank you for your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.